to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hello, geeks. Social Geek Radio is live. Good evening, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jack Munson? Glad you're back from your assignments.
Yes.
You're back with Social Geek Radio.
I assume everything went fine without me. I was listening. What are you talking about? Of course I was listening.
I know. You just weren't there. But yes, all went well. So
excellent.
Thanks very much.
Excellent. So we've got a great show tonight, talking about emerging franchise trends with one of our oldest friends in the franchise space. But before we get to that, Deb, you've got a Geek It Out segment tonight all about Facebook headlines. Hit me.
Yeah. I want to know if you, Mr. Munson, are a headline hero. So I'm going to give you two quick quizzes.
Okay.
And it's a multiple choice, so you've got some choices here. But let's go with question number one. What was the top headline phrase measured by average Facebook engagement? So it's the top phrase by engagement. Is it A, will make you, B, don't try this at home, or C, shocked to see?
Ooh, I'm going to go with the total clickbait of shocked to see.
Wrong.
Okay.
Number A.
Wow.
We'll make you.
All right.
But that was close. That was close.
Second one.
I got one more for you. One more. Headline starting with a number tend to get above average shares. We know that. But what is the most engaging number to start with? Will it be A, 30, B, 11, or C, 10?
Oof. I'll go with the easy one and say 10.
You're right.
See, all right.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. So you're a headline 50 hero. Today.
That's all right. Great.
That's cool. Right. I got some good ones for you next time.
All right. I want to find out what the number one hashtag on Facebook engagement is. Perhaps it will be franchising in the near future.
Perhaps it will be.
Right. So let's bring our guest in tonight. We're pleased to be joined by Brad Fishman of Fishman Public Relations. How you doing, Brad?
Thanks, Deb and Jack, for having me. And by the way, Jack, I got the same right and wrong one you got.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what? There you go.
When you said headlines, I figured, well, it's got to be something either for Trump or against Trump, right? Isn't that the most engaging
thing? Yeah, but when I heard the thing about shocking, that's the first thing. I'm like, okay, that's got to be the right answer.
Yeah. Perfect, right? So, Brad, you've written a few headlines in the past few years, I'm going to guess. Tell us a brief overview of what you've been doing for the past few years in the franchise space and in the public relations space.
Oh, God, that's a very loaded question. As we kind of talked about when we did, I've spent a lot of time on the road getting to see stuff all over the world. I mean, I've already been over to Italy this year and England, and I'm off to go to Ireland. And it's amazing what we consider normal here now. I mean, I was out there with my wife Sherry in Italy, and the different things that we're seeing of all the different signs that you see of regular, what we consider regular franchise companies, but now you're seeing them everywhere.
Yeah.
And, we were over in China, same thing in China. It's everything you see now. It's, we took a bunch of pictures just to show people the regular signs we see here. So I guess probably the best thing that I always like to say is franchising is continued to expand all over the world. And now as you see expansion, I mean, the companies like KFC, they do way better overseas than they do in the U.S.
Yeah, right. Who are some other ones that you saw like in Italy? What really kept popping.
Oh, you're still going to see, Postnet just got purchased by the UPS stores the mailbox, not UPS, mailbox, et cetera. So mailbox, et cetera, still has a name over there in Italy. And, the ones you expect to see, the Pizza Huts and the McDonald's, and how they're now delivering on the mopeds or motorcycles. and you're seeing a constant of, you know, you're looking, you're going to see the service businesses slowly expand there, some of the massage concepts. You're going to see everything keeps on going over there.
Wow. A lot of home services too, sort of cracking.
I think the home services are, you're really starting to see it. And, you know, I don't recognize it as much because you don't see the signage.
Right, right.
But I know over the UK, which I go there constantly, you see the home services do extremely well over there.
And are they UK based brands, or are you seeing more US brands that are expanding into Europe?
You're seeing both.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of it, you know, the Dwyer Group has done extremely well over in the UK. Matter of fact, they just bought their master back. But then you're seeing, you know, everything, you're seeing everything over there of home brands who want to really be entrepreneurs.
Right, right. A lot of emerging brands, or is it, you know, what we would consider large brands for the U.S. That are sort of taking over there?
I would say the majority of them are... are the larger brands, but I, you know, I think as you're doing, you know, especially food concepts have done very well in the Middle East. And, you know, it's very difficult if you're an emerging brand and you have 5-6 units and someone comes in the office, you a check for $500,000 to buy the rights to the Middle East.
Yeah. That'll pay a few bills for the rest of this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to turn down. It's, you know, it's just, do most consultants recommend it? Probably not.
Yeah, long term, not so much. Short term, how many zeros are on that check?
Sure. That's right.
What? So let's talk about some trends specifically with emerging franchise brands. What are you seeing, in primarily in the U.S. right now? What are you seeing this year? What's sort of the headline that you would write for this industry this year?
And you're always still going to see the senior and the children type of concepts out there as the more and more this country is becoming, let's be honest, older like the rest of us are.
Yeah.
And you're going to see more of those type of concepts continue to grow. Children's ones are always going to be hot. You're seeing food concepts, you know, anything with the healthy type that, you know, stuff that most people 5 years ago didn't know what a poke bowl was.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to see concepts come out that the Aya bowls. I mean, those are things that are hot right now in the food space. And it's hard as time goes on to differentiate yourself, but you're looking at everything. I mean, no matter what, you're still seeing sub sandwiches continue to grow.
Yeah.
And they're going to take market share from somebody.
Right, right. And when we're talking about emerging brands, it's always fun to me at some of the events that we go to where you know, someone says, oh, you know, we're an emerging brand. Oh, really? How many locations do you have? Oh, only 106. And like, well, wait, what? And then someone else sees that number as something very different. So in your mind, where do you sort of see that definition of an emerging brand? How up to what number of units would you typically say?
That's the $100 million question. I mean, you will find, and you know, the International Franchise Association is extremely involved in the, you know, bringing in emerging brands. I mean, the number they're trying to use right now, actually they're trying to use what the number is, how do we get a lot of these, what they call smaller brands, up to 100 units. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will define an emerging brand as until you get royalty self-sufficient. So, I mean, that's a whole different thing, you know, but I think most people are going to look at emerging brands as somewhere between 10 and 25 as you've got those first initial franchisees in there, and everyone's going to make a few mistakes along the road. And, you know, I think that's number of the 20 to 25, I think, if you ask most people, other people are still going to say, you know, 10, well, 10, if I have some up there and I've got 7-8 different seven, eight different franchisees, we might be understanding a little bit better. But I don't think, my personal opinion, I don't think they're taking into account what happens if they have to go to a different state, the supply chain, the things that they don't understand.
Right, right. Lots of challenges.
Now, my own curiosity, what do you guys consider an emerging brand?
I always, for some reason, there's that number 25 sticks with
me. Yeah, that's where I was going
to
go.
To me, there's always that feeling of under 25, we're going to, we need to make some deals and we'll, you know, we need to grow this thing. When you get to 25, maybe that's sort of that magic area that you're talking about of becoming, you know, more self-sufficient. But to me, that's always been kind of the number. But like I said, going to Springboard and some of the IFA events, it's always been very interesting to me to kind of see what other people's definitions are as well. Let's talk about these brands and some of the challenges that they're facing this year. You've been in franchising for how long would you say now, Brad?
Oh God, probably since 1992. So I guess I'm really showing my age. So 25 years.
Got it. That's good. Challenges that these guys are having now that you didn't see back in the early 90s, anything really pop up?
Well, I think the biggest thing that everyone, I think it's very similar back then, is money. And now you're trying to challenge it. You know, back when, you know, a lot of us started, you know, you would advertise it, you'd go to franchise shows. There were 25, 30 franchise shows a year. So now it's becoming, you have to understand the internet, the technology that goes with it. I think back then real estate was not as difficult as it is now. Being blocked out, and you know, some of the biggest thing is to start to some of these franchise concepts, you know, where there's 4,000 or 5,000 units now.
Yeah.
And where the, you know, the hair care chains, where they basically are getting blocked out of prime real estate and a lot of things now, and people are going back to the urban markets, so real estate costs are going up for some of them. You know, I think the challenge is always going to be challenges. Were there challenges back 25, 30 years ago? Absolutely. I mean, it's become more difficult from my, you know, back then you used to joke around about fogging the mirror. And now I think the litigation has gotten a lot more difficult. The legal landscape has gotten tougher, but I think it does a lot better job of protecting the potential franchisee. And, you know, even back now, I mean, you look at, you know, a lot of us talk about the franchise brokers, the consultants, whatever you want to call them. They've become a big part of the landscape. And now they don't even want to take some of the young emerging brands.
Yeah. I wonder what their definition of emerging brand is. Somebody who can't afford them, perhaps, right?
Well, and I think it's all across the board is that, you know, they're looking for validation.
Yeah.
And how difficult if you've got five franchisees that have been all open for a total of, you know, a year and a half, how is the validation? What's going to happen in 3, 5, 10 years?
Right. For people who are just starting to franchise now and they've got their brand, you know, maybe sort of up and running, what's sort of the biggest piece of advice that you give those guys? Because you're talking to these guys all the time. What's sort of the number one direction that you give them?
Choose your initial franchisees wisely. Because if you don't get validation, you can spend as much money as you want on franchise, you know, leads. You could spend it on the greatest consultants, the greatest lawyers, and the greatest PR firms. But if you're not going to have validation, it's just not going to work. And it's very difficult when you've had five open and two of your franchisees said, the biggest question they'll always ask, so if you had to do it, would you do this again? The answer, and they say no. So choose these franchisees very wisely. You know, most young franchisors, I always tell people, and I speak on this all over, is, you know, the best initial franchisees are going to be friends, customers, clients, people who are your suppliers, people who really know what you are doing and trust you, knowing that you'll be able to support these people.
Great advice. Love that. And they're going to make you or break you. Let's talk a little bit about one of my favorite events of the year coming up in just over a month. It's Springboard. Give us a little bit of history on Springboard. How did this all start?
Well, Lane Fisher, Fisher Zucker, and I have been friends. We'd met at an IFA event back in the mid-90s. And, you know, fortunately, we've been both very involved in the IFA, been involved in a lot of the Franchise Update, the Franchise Times conferences, and we've been together. And one of the biggest questions we always like to see is, you know, this industry has given both of us our careers. And so when we were talking about this, you hear about all these conferences about, God, if I had to do it over again, if I knew this, what would I do differently? And if I wish I would have known about this when I first started. Mm-hmm. You hear that constantly from everybody. And we figured if we could do a conference that kind of would, you know, call a lot of our, what we call our friends and people we know from the industry to talk to people as in the emerging part. And when many of these people, I haven't even started franchising yet. They're looking to franchise their business. And if we can help them to make two less mistakes than someone else could have possibly done and save them a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of aggravation, what can we do? And so that's how Springboard kind of started. And Lane and I said, okay, great. I mean, as we joke around, our goal every year is to break even. We don't make money at this.
Right, right.
And our whole goal is not to lose any money. And but we make it fun. Make it a learning experience, and let people network. And that's where I think everyone gets their best value.
Yeah, I agree with the networking part, especially compared to lots of other conferences, whether inside or outside of franchising, you know, all sorts of business conferences just seem to not appreciate that networking time where people can, you know, casually ask questions and get advice from guys like you. I think that's so valuable. And I think that's a favorite part of mine as well. How long have we been doing Springboard now? How many years is this?
This will be our fifth year.
Fifth year. It's amazing the size of this conference for something that's only been around for 5 years. So congratulations.
I mean, so far for signups for this year, I mean, we're up probably 50% already at the same time last year.
Wow. That's great.
Wow. Yeah, that's impressive.
And so for people who are thinking about it, or maybe they've seen some of the ads, or they've heard some of their friends talking about it, who should join us? Who's a good candidate for someone to come in and really get something out of this show?
It's a very good question that goes kind of back to what we consider an emerging brand. And I mean, we've got everyone with people looking to franchise their business, though, up to people who probably have 100+ units.
Mm-hmm.
And someone goes, we ask someone that question is, you know, now you're at a, what most people would not consider an emerging brand. And he goes, hey, for two and a half days, where can I have the ability to talk to some very experienced franchise operators in a small enough environment? He goes, you know, this company goes to the IFA convention every year.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, but, you know, last year IFA had close to 4,000.
Mm.
It's hard to find those people when I really want to go up and talk to them.
Yeah.
And this gives them the opportunity. And so it's really good, you know, probably the meat of the conference are going to be people from, you know, one or two units up to about 50.
Got it. Any speakers we're really looking forward to at this point, or other people presenting that you want to tell us about?
Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky is that, you know, Shelley's son will be coming in, who's chairman of the IFA now. Steve Greenbaum will be there. Charlie Chase, John Tetler, who's chair of our little group, the Springboard thing. Jeff Duden, Dan Dillon. You know, we have tons of founders that we like, because a lot of these small emerging franchise systems are founders right now. And trying to make that decision. And, you know, over the years, it's very interesting. I've met someone who had, you know, they had 17 company-owned units, and they just could not figure out the franchising aspect of it. They understood the restaurant space of it. And it was all started by a husband and wife. And the wife finally goes to her husband and goes, we went into franchising to make more money, not less money. And, I mean, when you think about it, it's true.
Yeah.
And they said, right. Why go into franchising if it's going to be more aggravation to make less money? And it was probably one of the best, really got me thinking why, is they were great restaurant operators. They just didn't want to be in franchising.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea is to talk to founders who have gone through stuff like this with them.
Excellent. Springboard event, special event for emerging franchisors, happening September 25th through the 27th in Philadelphia. I love that you guys are keeping it in Philadelphia. That's fantastic. You gotta have a home
great
base,
city.
Right?
And tougher and tougher to find the right hotels.
Yeah. I hope they're building some bigger hotels in Philly these days so we can stay there the next few years. And the website for more information there is franchisespringboard.com. Brad, in the couple of minutes we have left, what's going on in your world with Fishman PR? I know you're all over the globe, literally, working with clients. Any big new fun projects you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun. Like I said, we always try to think every client is special. And, you know, I was very fortunate with Mike Masetic, who's worked at Fishman with me for 10 plus years, about 3 years ago, to go start Franchise Elevator, which kind of got us into, it kind of went hand in hand when I realized how many different type of companies out there need a smaller brand like Franchise Elevator to work with emerging brands to help with their PR and going along with it. So it kind of made it interesting to us. So it's a lot of fun for both Fishman and Franchise Elevator and Fisher & Zucker that a lot of us get to work with these emerging brands and really watch them grow. And it gives you a lot of pride in knowing that you're a small part of something that really becomes exciting. I mean, one of my favorite stories was working with a concept called Painting with a Twist.
Yes.
When I first met them, I said I would, you know, I was introduced to them, and I wouldn't take them on as a client. I said, I don't want to take on a fad. I really don't want to take your money. And that's when they had about 5 units, and when they came to me and they had 20, they go, do you believe we're not a fad? You know, now they're a bit somewhere. Now they're close to 400.
Wow.
So as I tell them, I said, I had to eat some crow there. And so it's been fun for us to watch these type of emerging brands really grow and, you know, in their situation, start a whole new category.
Yeah.
And so it's continued to be fun to watch it.
That's excellent. If any of our listeners have some questions for you or they'd like to get some more information on your firm or connect with you, what's the best place to send them as far as website, LinkedIn, that sort of thing?
We're Fishman, FishmanPR.com, and my email is bfish, B-F-I-S-H, at FishmanPR.com. And as you mentioned before, FranchiseSpringboard.com is Franchise Springboard, and we do have a Facebook page. And, you know, we'd love for everyone to, you know, everyone who really, I think most people will really enjoy, they'll get a great benefit for it. As I mentioned before, Lynn and I don't make money doing this. And this is our way, one of the ways that we like to give back to the franchise community is really getting some fabulous speakers. We're fortunate to get some great sponsors who come in and, you know, like to support this. And it's great. I mean, it's shocking both from a franchisor and from a supplier standpoint. When a supplier goes to me, you know, I happened to meet somebody, and I was even trying to sell them services. We just started talking, and they became a client because we had a good fit.
Yeah.
It was a small enough environment where people can actually just talk about it.
Yeah, it gets back to that networking space where you can have these you know, informal you know, conversations, and it's not just a whole bunch of pitches. So I can't wait.
Yeah, and we're really big into, and you, and like I said, Jack, you know what I'm talking. We're very big into having very interactive type of socialization, which are very attuned to the networking. You know, since the first time we've done a thing where we actually gave them an FDD and said, okay, what do you want to do? Help make a franchise. We're giving you a thing and we have a contest with it.
Yeah, I love that too, because think of all of the times in the future when they're working on that same document, they're going to think back to, you know, the springboard that they went to in 2015 or whenever, when they were doing that exercise. So I think that kind of stuff really sticks with people. That's fantastic. Brad, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We will see you at Springboard in Philadelphia, September 25th through the 27th. And we are so grateful you could join us on Social Geek Radio tonight.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for joining Social Geek Radio. Brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Copyright 2017 Social Geek Radio.